Pretty much till they kick me out the booth, and we pretty much amazing.
What's up, and welcome in to another edition of Chi-Town Chatter with Matt Peck on Blog Talk Radio. Happy to have you with me tonight. You can also follow me on the Twitter machine at MMP underscore DA. That's MMP underscore DAAA. Like and follow the Facebook page, Chi-Town Chatter with Matt Peck. Follow on Instagram for pics and videos at Chi-Town Chatter. Chi-Town Chatter is brought to you by Benny's Beverage Depot. Remember, if you can't find it at Benny's, it's probably not worth drinking. Well, here we are, just 48 hours or so away from the Christmas holiday. The Bears, the Bulls, the Blackhawks, all with some time off approaching. The Bulls will be active on Christmas Day, taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Blackhawks off until the 27th. The Hawks losing to the Stars in Dallas, could not get it done against the Central Division leading team and their former teammates. Patrick Sharp with a goal and assist in the Stars 4-0 win, and former Blackhawks goaltender Antti Niemi, who was with the club in their 2010 run to the Stanley Cup, his third shutout of the season. The Bears taking on the Tampa Bay Bucks in a, for all relative purposes, useless game this Sunday in Tampa, a reunion with former Bears head coach Lovie Smith. The Bucks, like the Bears, have already been eliminated from the playoffs. But we'll still take a look at that matchup, see what the Bucks have been up to this season, and what the Bears will be trying to accomplish in their second to final game of this disappointing 2015 season. We'll also talk about the Bulls' slump, third straight loss to the Nets on Monday night after some interesting words between Jimmy Butler and Fred Hoiberg about where this Bulls team is headed, how they are being coached, and just what exactly is the identity of this Bulls team. Also, bad news in that loss to the Nets on Monday night. Bulls center and heart and soul of this team, Joakim Noah, goes down with a shoulder injury. We'll talk about that and how long Joakim will be expected to be out, the effect that will have on this team. Also, plenty of movies to be seen this holiday season, including, of course, Star Wars, the one that will undoubtedly be the biggest box office draw, but one in the world of sports that I am very much looking forward to seeing, and people in the executive offices around the NFL maybe aren't so excited about, Concussion, starring Will Smith. We'll talk a little bit about that film and the elephant in the room and what the NFL has done about concussions and head injuries for their players and retired ex-players of the NFL. That's all to come tonight on Chi-Town Chatter. Let's start with the Chicago Bears, who head to Tampa Bay this weekend, having lost three straight after their loss to the Vikings last weekend. Quarterback Jay Cutler said that it's not a fun stretch right now. It's hard. For these final two games of the season, it's going to be about figuring out which players still want to show up.
It's tough. It's tough. I mean, I know the locker room's down. But like Coach Fox said, and I'll say right now, you will find out what we have in the locker room of who's going to fight and who's going to try to finish this out the right way the next two games.
About a month ago, Bears fans had plenty to be thankful for. After a very rare upset win over the Packers at Lambeau Field, bringing the team to a 5-6 record with a favorable schedule down the stretch, many Bears fans thinking, hey, this team might actually finish above 500, which no one expected. First year of a new regime, new GM, new head coach, new coaching staff, plenty of new players, plenty of young, inexperienced, unproven players. But here the Bears are, losers of three straight, eliminated from the playoffs. And all the things we saw leading up to that high point in Lambeau on Thanksgiving night, the development of some of the younger players defensively, holding one of the better offenses in the league to just 13 points Jay Cutler minimizing his mistakes by working with Adam Gase and his system to cut down on turnovers, run the ball, get the ball out quickly, and a roughshod, thrown together, musical chairs offensive line was hanging in there. And since that win over the Packers, things have progressively gotten worse. The offense failing to deliver much against weak defenses, defenses that were ailing with multiple injuries, San Francisco, Washington, Minnesota last week. Jay Cutler making Jay Cutler-esque bad choices more frequently in that loss to the Vikings. And the defense continually giving up early touchdowns and giving up plenty of touchdowns to Teddy Bridgewater last week. Certainly not one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. Has not had the great second season that many saw coming for the young quarterback. So after that optimistic turkey packed high that Bears fans experienced a month ago, it's been all bad since, and we're looking at a pretty bad football team again.
Oh no! We suck again!
Any Joe average fan watching at home can look at this Bears team over their last three games and see that other than fewer mistakes and some brighter spots in the return game with Deontay Thompson coming on board, special teams has improved. Robbie Gould came out of his slump with a 51-yarder against the Vikings. Other than that, the Bears have regressed. And whether it's collectively or individually, this team has regressed. And it's no surprise that as earlier this week, the Pro Bowl selections were announced, not a single Bears player was on that list. If you think about some of the Bears who would be most likely to receive that Pro Bowl honor, offensive lineman Kyle Long, who had made the Pro Bowl in his previous two seasons, has struggled mightily in the last two games against Washington and Minnesota in his new position of right tackle. Clearly not a Pro Bowl season for him. And Alshon Jeffrey, stud wide receiver who has done well in the games he's played, very high up on the list of NFL receivers as far as yards per game this season. Added some touchdowns to his career numbers, but he has not been able to stay on the field. You're not making the Pro Bowl if you play only half of your games. And the same could be said for Martellus Bennett, who was an alternate Pro Bowl selection last year, set himself a career high in receptions, but had a slower year, a smaller year statistically, with the emergence of Zach Miller and his need as a pass and run blocker for this Bears offensive line that has been weak. And he also shut down for the season a few weeks ago with an injury. So he's not making the Pro Bowl. And Matt Forte, a perennial Pro Bowl candidate, not just as a running back, but an all-purpose weapon offensively, his numbers are still good when you combine his rushing and receiving yards this season, but he missed a month's time. So just like Alshon, just like Marty B, if you don't have season-long numbers, you're not making the Pro Bowl. That's the sad truth. No Bears are worthy of the Pro Bowl this season.
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Earlier this week at Hallis Hall, Bears head coach John Fox was asked if he could pinpoint exactly who or what is to blame for this recent three-game skid the Bears are in after seeing some signs of optimism earlier this season.
I'm not good at the blame game. You know, to me, it's all of us. You know, it's coaching, it's playing, it's executing. You know, ultimately, we're all in it together. You know, so even, you know, I would say I'm disappointed in our record, you know, and kind of really leave it at that because that's kind of what we're measured on.
John Fox is right. This team is 5-9. This team collectively deserves to be 5-9. The players and the coaches deserve to be 5-9. Some bright spots from everyone on this team, on the sidelines, on the field, and some pretty rough patches as well. So John Fox was talking about what kind of intangibles he and his coaching staff will be looking for in these final two games. What can players do to prove themselves worthy of a spot on this team next year?
These four words kind of always ring true in my brain, and that starts from me down. But, you know, basically, you know, focus, intensity, preparation, and then really just the mental toughness to create all those things on a consistent basis. So, you know, we're not there yet.
So that's what John Fox is looking for. And he added that he's looking for it from himself and his coaching staff in addition to his players. But he's right in saying that they are not there yet. Focus, intensity, preparation, and mental toughness. Focus, lots of bad penalties from this Bears unit on both sides of the football this season. Intensity, seems to me that the Bears on both sides of the ball, again, have sleepwalked through certain portions of games this season. Preparation, how is it that the Bears defense continues to give up touchdowns to their opponent on the opening drive of seemingly every game this season? That doesn't strike me as preparation. Not just the defense, but in the last few weeks, we've seen the Bears offensively come out with three straight three-and-out possessions. That's a lack of preparation. And the final one, well, that is yet to be seen. Mental toughness. The Bears have showed some of that at times. Their defense holding Aaron Rodgers in a goal-to-go situation late in the fourth quarter on the road, that is some mental toughness right there. Probably the high point for mental toughness of this Bears team in 2015. But what about these last two games? These last two games that, in the world of NFL postseason, mean nothing. What kind of mental toughness can this Bears team show against two losing teams? They can't even play spoiler to a team hoping to make the playoffs. Bucks and Lions both eliminated. What kind of mental toughness will they bring to the table? Bears defensive end turned outside linebacker Willie Young, who has been an emerging bright spot for this Bears team in 2015. Sacks in the last five games, only the third player in Bears franchise to do that, was talking about staying true to those principles that John Fox was talking about.
I think it's something that every individual, whether it's football or in life in general, you go back and you go down that list and you ask yourself, are you staying true to those principles? And if your answer is yes to every one of them, then you're doing the right thing. You know, you'll come out on top.
So which players on this Bears 53-man roster, or at least the 46 that will be active on Sunday, will hold to those principles? Which ones will show John Fox that they still believe in the message that he's preaching?
I guess I'm alone in my principles. Mine. Here he goes, off to his room to write that hit song, Alone in My Principles.
So it's not an ideal situation for us Bears fans coming into this game Sunday to say to ourselves, well, we should try to figure out who's sticking to these principles of head coach John Fox. It's not something you could readily tell by watching the game, other than if these certain players that come out and make plays on Sunday, they make big plays and they make big impact plays, it means that they have the focus, the intensity, and the preparation that John Fox is talking about, that John Fox is preaching to his team. So while this game is not exactly a juicy late December matchup, I mean, we're talking about a 5-9 team going against a 6-8 team.
Gold jacket, green jacket, who gives a s***?
As fans, we have to be watching on Sunday for which players are out there still playing. Which players out there look like they still give a damn? Because that's about all we have left to take away from this season. I mean, it would be nice to get another win. It'd be nice to get two more wins. Heck, that's what I said all along going into this 2015 season. I'd like to see the Bears get one or two more wins than that 5-11 disaster last year. That can still happen. The Bears got to give us a reason to watch. The last 3 weeks have been pretty rough. Lost two close games at home to teams we probably should have beat and then get blown out by a division opponent. Bears fans can't be excited about watching this game on Sunday. What's to be excited about? It could most likely be another bad effort from a bad football team. It's basically torture if you're a fan that really cares.
No, please. No more. No more. I don't want it.
At this point in the season, most Bears fans just want the season to be over. Unfortunately, that was where Bears fans found themselves through 14 games last season, pleading, praying, just let it be over. This has been miserable from start to finish. Let it be over. So, while our results this season are far and away better than last, think about all of the blowout losses we had last season. We had two this year. The shutout in Seattle, week 3. And this past Sunday against Minnesota. The Cardinals pulled away in the second half in that game, week 2. But Jay Cutler went down. And before Jay Cutler went down, the Bears offense was matching the Cardinals score for score. So I'm counting that Minnesota loss as only our second blowout loss of the season. So yes, our record is the same. Bears are more competitive. And despite that, here we are 5-9, and most Bears fans are ready to turn their TVs off. To focus the Bulls, the Blackhawks, college football playoffs, March Madness, plenty of things around the corner to be excited about as a sports fan. And right now, two games against the Bucks and the Lions, that's not really high on our priority list. So the Bears and their young talent on this team, talent trying to make a name for themselves, trying to earn a roster spot for 2016, they have to give us a reason to watch on Sunday. And they have to give us a reason early in this game, so we don't turn it off at halftime. Give us a reason to stick around.
Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn it back around. Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn it back around. Said I don't want to leave you lonely.
If nothing else, it will be nice to see the friendly, familiar face of one Lovie Smith, unfortunately, on the other sideline. Lovie Smith talked to the Tampa Bay Press earlier this week about a reunion game with his former team, the Chicago Bears.
You know, just like last week, I had a lot of fond memories from my time in St. Louis, a lot of fond memories from my time in Chicago, but you know, as you said, we look across, you know, to an opponent on the other side. And we need to play, you know, the best game we played all year, whoever's on the other side. So won't be any family reunions, anything like that going on. We're just trying to get a win.
Oh, man. I don't know about you, but I miss hearing the voice of Lovie Smith every day, every week. He has such a soft, soothing tone, a very melodic pace to his speaking, and a little bit of that southern twang. Oh, it's like molasses pouring out of his mouth. It's beautiful. And I'm still trying to adjust to listening to John Fox's speaking voice every day. He kind of reminds me of a gruffer, raspier Barack Obama with a slightly slower train of thought.
You know, is well, you know, lots of nonverbals. Well, you know, we just came up short. And, we tried our best, and we couldn't get it done.
Seriously, it's Obama with more stalled thoughts, more half thoughts, and a significant need for a throat lozenge. Not quite as pleasant as listening to Lovie Smith. But since the divorce of the Bears and Lovey, neither club has fared all that well. Lovie Smith, a losing record in Tampa Bay. And the Bears, after firing Lovie Smith after the 2012 season in which he went 10-6, but the team failed to make the playoffs, the Bears are 18-28, I believe, since that 2012 season, the departure of Lovie Smith. And we all know that if the team could go back and do things over, they probably would. Instead of not, and I don't mean not firing Lovie Smith, and you can debate whether or not you felt that was a good call at the time. There are pros and cons to letting Smith go. I'd say it was probably time for that separation. But I'm talking about choosing Mark Trestman over Bruce Arians, who is the reigning NFL Coach of the Year, who has a very strong winning record with the Arizona Cardinals over the past few seasons, has the Cardinals poised to make a deep run in the playoffs again this year, could likely be the NFC representative in the Super Bowl. And Bruce Arians wanted the job in Chicago. Wanted the job. Instead, we said farewell to Lovie Smith. We said no thanks to Bruce Arians. We gave Mark Trestman a chance. And here we are 2 years later, and no progress has been made. But that is the past. This is the present. So let's take a look at Lovie Smith's crew, the Bucks, in anticipation of our matchup Sunday afternoon. Of course, you have to start by talking about their rookie quarterback, Jameis Winston, out of Florida State. The rookie has done better than I would have expected in his first season. He's got a 58 completion percentage. He's thrown 3,400 yards, 20 touchdowns to just 12 interceptions. And his QBR of 60.8 is 18th in the league. And yes, that is higher than Jay Cutler's. Compared to his fellow rookie QB, Marcus Mariota, who was recently shut down for the season in Tennessee with an injury, Mariota has thrown 600 fewer passing yards, but does have a higher completion percentage, fewer interceptions, and a slightly higher QBR. But Winston also is, of course, the dual threat. He has 5 rushing touchdowns on the season, just shy of 200 rushing yards. So the Bears will have their hands full trying to keep an eye on Winston, who has a big target, a favorite target, the likes of Mike Evans, the second-year wide receiver out of Texas A&M, who had a huge rookie season for the Bucks last year. Evans is 12th in the NFL with 1,046 total yards, only 3 TDs on the season, but he can make the big plays. He's 16th in the NFL in yards per catch at 15.8. He's also tied for 7th in the league in with number of catches 20 yards or greater. He's got 18 catches at 20 or more yards, and 11th in the NFL in targets with 130. So clearly Winston's favorite target this season. He had a big game last week, 9 catches, 157 yards in their loss to the Rams on Thursday night. So yes, the Bucks are going to be well rested after having a mini bye week. He also has, of course, veteran receiver Vincent Jackson. The 32-year-old has missed some time with injury this season, including last Thursday against the Rams, and has had a very quiet, pedestrian season statistically. Just 33 catches on the year for Jackson for 543 yards. He, like Evans, has 3 TDs on the year. But perhaps the brightest spot for this Bucks offense has been their backfield. Young running back Doug Martin, who after a very impressive rookie campaign in 2012, in which he earned a Pro Bowl selection, had some serious injuries to deal with in 2013 and 2014, came back this year with a vengeance. Second in the NFL in rushing yards with 1,305, just 9 yards shy of Adrian Peterson, who's having his own amazing comeback season. He, like Mike Evans through the air, has big playmaking ability on the ground. Martin leads the NFL in 20-plus yard rushes with 13. He's tied for the most 50-plus yard gainers in the NFL with 3, and second in the league in gains of 10 or more yards with 32. And yes, Doug Martin earlier this week was selected to the 2015 Pro Bowl. So those are the keys to this Bucs offense. That is what the Bears will have to try to slow down. Defensively, as a unit, the Bucs have been middle of the pack this year. Not quite the Lovie defenses of old, not the 2006 defense that Lovie led to the Super Bowl. They're 19th in the league against the pass, allowing 245 yards a game, 9th against the run, allowing just 94 on the ground. And their pass rush has been, like their pass defense, like their run defense, about average. They are 16th in the NFL with 33 sacks on the year, although they have been consistent in their last six games. They have had at least two sacks, if not three. So not a ferocious defense, but certainly one that is capable of getting some stops and creating some problems for their opposing offensive line. And we all saw what the Bears have done with that O-line over the last 2 weeks. So even a mediocre pass rush and a mediocre defense like this Bucs one the Bears will face on Sunday has to be worrisome given what we've seen from the Bears O-line against the Redskins and Vikings. Some defensive standouts for the Bucs. Lavonte David, their outside linebacker, was perhaps one of the biggest Pro Bowl snubs this season. Doesn't have huge stats as far as sacks and the like that can earn you a Pro Bowl berth, but he leads the Bucs in tackles this season with 126. He's actually fourth in the NFL among tackles. And he also leads the team with three interceptions. His 12 pass breakups not only lead the Bucs as a team, but lead the NFL for linebackers. No other linebacker in the NFL has even 10 pass breakups, and Lavonte David has 12. So he's a big piece for them. Defensive tackle Gerald McCoy, who was selected to the Pro Bowl, his fourth straight, he leads the team with 7.5 sacks, which is fourth in the NFL among defensive tackles. Leads the team with 15 quarterback pressures and has 7 tackles for a loss as well. And just earlier this week, he revealed that he has been playing with a torn rotator cuff since week 2. He also broke his hand in a game against the Colts late in November and only missed one game because of that broken hand. Did not miss any games with a torn rotator cuff. McCoy, clearly a tough piece for this Bucs defense and a very valuable part of their defensive line. Congrats to him on making the Pro Bowl. So between Lavonte David and Gerald McCoy, Jay Cutler better have his head on a swivel on Sunday. Something tells me we will see him get a big hit and taken down at least 3 times. I have no faith in this Bears offensive line right now. Zip, zero, none. Another interesting storyline for this game Sunday is the emergence or possible sighting of Bucs wide receiver Evan Spencer. Spencer was a 6th-round draft pick out of Ohio State by the Redskins in the most recent draft and was cut from the Skins in September, signed by the Bucs to their practice squad. He's been on that practice squad since late September, but was promoted to their active roster earlier this week. Spencer is the son of Tim Spencer, currently the Tampa Bay Bucs running coach, who also spent time working for Lovie Smith and the Bears here in Chicago. So will he get some time on the field and see some targets behind Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson? Evan Spencer, a product of the Chicago area. So those are some people to keep an eye on for this game on Sunday. As far as my prediction, I predicted a road win against the Vikings last week, and boy, was I wrong. Thought the Bears would respond. They've played better on the road than they have at home this season for whatever reason. But after watching that game against the Vikings, I have no positive expectations left. At this point, I guess I will be pleasantly surprised if things go well, but I'm going to say that the Bucs win as the Bears' offensive line continues to struggle and their defense can't stop much of anything. I'll say Bucks 24, Bears 17. That's my prediction for this game. Let's take one quick break. We'll be right back to talk about the big screen and the movie Concussion that is coming out this holiday weekend. You're listening to Chi-Town Chatter with Matt Peck on Blog Talk Radio. Stick around.
I'll be right back. Don't you go dying on me.
It's 3 hours till dinner and I'm starving. So hungry I could eat a horse. Covered in milk, chocolate, peanuts, caramel, and nougat. Whoa! Hold your horses. What I really need is a Snickers, packed to the max with peanuts and caramel. Snickers really satisfies.
25,000 mornings, give or take, is all we humans get. We spend them on treadmills, spend them in traffic. And if we get lucky, really lucky, it dawns on us to go spend them in a world where a simple sunrise can still be magic. 25,000 mornings. Make sure some of them are pure Michigan. Your trip begins at Michigan.org.
Hey, it's me, Water. Did you know that if you filter me from your tap, I'm pretty much the same as I am in a plastic bottle? Except that I'm 10 times cheaper. Other than that, I'm pretty similar. Oh, and I'm fresher when I'm filtered. And I don't need an expiration date. And I don't have to get shipped halfway around the world. But other than that, we're pretty much the same. Pure Water Filter. A better source.
You can tell everybody.
Welcome back to Chi-Town Chatter on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Matt Peck. You can follow me on Twitter at MMP_DAAA. Like and follow the Facebook page, Chi-Town Chatter with Matt Peck. And for pics and videos, follow on Instagram at Chi-Town Chatter. Well, the holiday weekend is fast approaching, and that means, I don't know about you, but for my family, going to the movies. Always a long-standing family tradition to go see a movie on Christmas Day. And obviously this season, Star Wars is the big one. Everybody cannot wait to see the newest installment of that great, great Star Wars story. I don't know about you, I'm really excited to see the Point Break remake. I mean, come on, how could you not?
You want the ultimate, you gotta be willing to pay the ultimate price. It's not tragic to die doing what you love.
I have high expectations that the remake of Point Break will be equally awesomely bad, just like the original in 1991, directed by Kathryn Bigelow. But the movie I'm most excited to see this holiday season is Concussion. The movie starring Will Smith, playing the main character, Dr. Bennett Omalu, the Nigerian forensic neuropathologist, the doctor who discovered chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE for short. Now, this is a movie that Roger Goodell and the rest of his NFL execs are probably not that eager to see. It's the story of Dr. Bennett Omalu discovering CTE, bringing his findings to the NFL, trying to raise awareness for what CTE was and the damage it was causing, the head injuries, the head trauma, and the ensuing symptoms, which could sometimes lead to not only depression, anxiety, dementia, but also death, suicidal thoughts. And trying to bring all of that information to the forefront, to the attention of the NFL, which tried to silence him, tried to publicly crucify him, called him a liar. Sometimes reading articles, listening to interviews, looking at statistics, medical journals, that doesn't draw the attention as much as a big Hollywood budget movie. Heck, last night my family and I went and saw the movie The Big Short about the real estate crash in 2008. And in 2008, I was about to graduate from college, and I was aware that the economy crashed, and I was aware that it had something to do with real estate and loans from banks, but I didn't really understand the X's and O's of it until I went and watched that movie last night. I highly recommend seeing that one as well, because now I finally get what happened and who was responsible and why. And just like that movie, people who wouldn't necessarily be reading medical journals in their free time or even paying attention to the NFL lawsuit that was recently settled that began all the way back in 2011, they go and see this movie because they think, well, hey, Will Smith is in it. I like Will Smith. Or it's about head injuries in the NFL, and people seem to be talking about that a lot recently. For whatever reason, people will go see it. People will start paying attention to it. People will start thinking about this. Dr. Bennett Omalu first diagnosed CTE when he performed the autopsy of Hall of Fame Steelers center Mike Webster, who died at the age of 50 after suffering from dementia and depression. That was back in 2002. Now 87 ex-NFL players have been diagnosed with CTE, including Junior Seau, former Bears great Dave Duerson, who was a member of that Super Bowl 20 team. He committed suicide and left a note requesting that his brain be donated to medical research. He had CTE. Earlier this year, former Bears quarterback Eric Kramer, age 51, survived an apparent suicide attempt. And his ex-wife said after the incident that the head injuries Kramer sustained while playing football led him to depression and a lost identity. Bears quarterback Jim McMahon, who led the offense of that Super Bowl team in the 1980s, he was one of many former players to file a class action lawsuit against the NFL back in 2011. And at age 53 in 2012, McMahon was diagnosed with the onset early stages of dementia. Now, Dr. Omalu believes that as many as 90% of NFL players suffer from CTE. He also, in a recent interview, claimed that he has never examined any brain of a retired NFL player that came back negative for CTE. 100%. The struggle right now is that CTE cannot be diagnosed in a living brain. It can only be confirmed post-mortem. But the early symptoms all seem to match up. NFL players that experience chronic headaches, impulsive decisions, quick tempers, depression, anxiety, dementia. These recurring symptoms keep popping up for retired NFL players. And anytime one of them dies and they do perform an autopsy, they find CTE in the brain. The NFL did lose that lawsuit, and the NFL reached a settlement that will have them paying out somewhere in the neighborhood of $765 million to ex-NFL players and their families over the next several years. I think the payout will happen over the course of 10 or 20 years or something like that. $765 million. That sounds like a lot of money until you realize that the NFL just last year, in 2014, the NFL had a total revenue of over $7 billion. $7 billion with a B. Seems like chump change. Just a small fraction of 1 year's worth of revenue for the corporate juggernaut that is the National Football League. And so this movie brings this struggle to the forefront, to the big screen. Where is the trade-off? We know it's out there. We know that NFL players, and not just NFL players, but players that play any contact sport, hockey, soccer, boxing, CTE is a real risk. And any professional athlete who, at least these days, now that this information is out there, back in the 80s, when Jim McMahon and Dave Duerson were playing, people knew very little about concussions, let alone CTE. These days, with all of the medical advancements that have been made, all the discoveries, they're playing at their own risk, and they're getting paid handsomely to do it. But it seems like the icky conversation that the NFL really doesn't want to talk about. Why is it that leading up to the Super Bowl last year, every waking minute of TV and radio programming related to the NFL was talking about whether or not Tom Brady knew about footballs that were slightly less inflated than other footballs? That was the big scandal coming into Super Bowl weekend. Why? Because the NFL doesn't want people paying attention to the real issue, which is the fact that more and more of their retired players are showing these horrible symptoms of a disease that is directly related to multiple head injuries. And yes, the NFL can say we're doing everything we can and they're making new rules to eliminate head injuries. Just this past weekend, we saw one of the biggest, brightest stars in the league today, Giants receiver Odell Beckham Jr., take a absolutely dirty, cheap shot at Panthers cornerback Josh Norman, a purposeful head-to-head targeting hit. Just is exactly the kind of thing that causes significant head injuries, that causes concussions. And Odell Beckham receives a one-game suspension. I'm glad that they made this movie, because this is a real issue. Don't get me wrong. I love football. Love it. And I love watching big hits. The Bears defense, I was too young, did not see the great Bears defense of the 80s, but even the big hits that Brian Urlacher and Lance Briggs would lay on people in their prime, love to see it. But there's a dirty side to this game that we all love to watch. A dirty side to the game whose teams we love to root for. And more so than a lawsuit that gets some national attention, more so certainly than any medical journals or articles, we live in a time where screens, movies, TV, that's what people pay attention to. That's what people do with their time. So a major Hollywood movie like this about this issue, I'm glad it's happening. Here is Dr. Bennett Umalu with a few thoughts about his story and this movie.
It's not about football. It's not about sports. But yet, it tells a story about a game. And not just football. Every high-impact contact sport, including ice hockey, including soccer. But one thing I know, no matter what your ethnicity may be, no matter where you are on the face of the earth, love is love. And truth is truth. What separates us is far less than what binds us together as one common people. That is what this movie is about.
The movie is called Concussion. It's about that man, Dr. Bennett Umalu, portrayed in the film by Will Smith. The movie opens Christmas Day. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I encourage you to do the same if you are a true football fan. Let's take one more quick break. We'll be back to wrap up with some thoughts on the Bulls' recent slide and the loss of a very important piece to the Bulls' puzzle. You're listening to Chi-Town Chatter with Matt Peck on Blog Talk Radio.
I love you.
Oh.
That's so nice. Really?
I made these for you. They're just brownies.
Could I have one?
Go ahead.
No.
What? You don't like brownies?
No.
I'm sorry. I can't understand you.
No.
Mick?
No.
You're seeing someone else.
No.
A guy named Mick.
No.
I can't believe this. Hey, my name is Scott. Scott, look, I gotta go. I hope Mick likes brownies.
Got milk? Brought to you by America's Dairy Farmers.
Nothing's funny about gout flares, though they can make you walk funny or sport that hilarious open-toed sneaker of yours. Those are serious attempts to live with gout flares. But why live with them? Visit gout.com and find better ways to fight flares over time.
Budweiser commercial featuring the crew cut.
Where there's life, there's fun. At a concert or a show, in your own backyard, wherever you go, Budweiser's here for folks to know. Where there's life, there's fun. Budweiser.
It's amazing, so amazing, so amazing, so amazing. It's amazing, so amazing, so amazing, so amazing. It's amazing.
Welcome back to Chi-Town Chatter on Blog Talk Radio. Matt Peck here with you this evening. Follow me on Twitter at MMP_DAAA. So the Bulls, Bears, and Blackhawks all have a couple of days off as we near the Christmas holiday. For the Bulls, they'll have a tough task on Christmas Day trying to take down the Oklahoma City Thunder, one of the league's best teams right there behind San Antonio in the Western Conference. Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook both playing very well. And the Bulls have beaten the Oklahoma City Thunder already this year. True to Bulls fashion, they have beaten the Thunder, the Spurs, the Cavaliers. They played the Golden State Warriors evenly on the road through 3.5 quarters, and yet we are subjected to things like that loss to the Brooklyn Nets on Monday, 105-102. I was at the UC Monday night, not a whole lot to get excited about. The Bulls, lethargic for large stretches, not playing a whole lot of defense. Anytime the Bulls found themselves down by 8 or 10 points, they would wake up, make a run, and then once they got the game back close or occasionally would take a small lead, they fell asleep again. A very difficult time for the Bulls and their fans, wondering just what this team is made of and if they have what it takes to be a real contender this season. Now, before this game against the Nets Monday, there were some words shared by Jimmy Butler and head coach Fred Hoiberg at their shoot-around about Jimmy Butler's words after their loss to the Knicks last Saturday, saying that coach Fred Hoiberg had to work harder, had to coach harder. Well, both Jimmy Butler and Fred Hoiberg felt that what happened was a good thing for the entire team moving forward.
Now that we have addressed it, everybody knows what they have to do in practice, in the games. Before, when it wasn't addressed, everybody was maybe going through the motions. And today was a great shoot-around. Everybody was going hard at that.
I know emotions are part of this game. The comments that were made, you learn from them. You learn from them. Is there some things I can do better? Of course. Is there some things our players can do better? Absolutely. I had a great talk with Jimmy yesterday. We met for over an hour in my office and talked a lot of things out. I think came out in a better place. So, in a situation like what happened, it's an opportunity for us to grow as a team. And hopefully we'll take that first step tonight.
That's Jimmy Butler and Fred Hoiberg from the team's shoot around on Monday. When Hoiberg was asked a follow-up question regarding whether or not he felt Butler's comments had some validity to them, here's what he had to say.
Is there some things that I can do better? Sure. Is there some things that all of us can do better? Absolutely. There's some things I need to demand probably a little bit more? Sure. But again, it's something where I thought we made a lot of progress as a team. And it's getting back to those things that we demanded, leading into that winning streak. And it's about, staying consistent with that and continue to build off what made us a successful team that week.
So what did Bulls fans learn from this little Butler-Hoiberg tiff? Well, we learned that Fred Hoiberg is a fan of the question talking, Do I think this? Yes, I do. Is this a possibility? Yes, it is. How about this? Absolutely. Other than that, we learned that those comments from Butler and Hoiberg about getting it out in the open and now everybody knows what they need to do and this will help us moving forward and we had a great energy at shoot-around, those were all empty thoughts because they then went out later that day and laid an egg against one of the worst teams in the league. They lost to the Brooklyn Nets at home. That, to me, does not seem like the proper outcome after a supposedly great day of shoot-around and a good conversation one-on-one between Jimmy Butler and Fred Hoiberg and then a good overall team meeting where this was addressed and discussed. That performance they put out against Brooklyn did not look like a team that has everything figured out and is on the same page. Not at all. And after that loss to the Nets, well, the leaders of this team, Fred Hoiberg, Derrick Rose, Pau Gasol, Jimmy Butler, they were all at a loss for words, at a loss for any kind of explanation.
It's a bad, bad loss.
We wasn't on the same page. We just didn't have the urge in us tonight, and it showed.
What was missing tonight, I feel like what's been missing a lot of the games, I think it's just a sense of urgency. We cruise for most of the game, and then when we have our backs against the wall, we tighten it up, we pick it up, and we try to give ourselves a chance, but some of those times are just too late, and you lose games like this one.
We didn't do our job as individuals. So if you don't do your job as individuals, you can't do it as a team. We took L tonight on our home floor. We were outplayed in every aspect of the game.
The closest thing I can find there to an answer is something that Pau and Rose both mentioned, which was a lack of urgency. And pinpointing that, which would not be a first for this Bulls team this season, any Bulls fan watching can tell that they play lackadaisically more often than not. Pinpointing that as your problem is not, in fact, a solution as well. The Bulls still have no idea why they can't seem to get geared up and ready to play games. That most often it doesn't look like they want to be playing basketball. That they don't want to be playing together. That they're not having any fun. That they don't want to be competing as hard, if not harder, than their opponent. Because that was the Bulls' MO for 5 years under Tom Thibodeau. We may not be the most talented roster on paper, but we will come out every night. If it's a Monday, if it's a Wednesday, if it's a Sunday, if it's the first game of the season, if it's the 79th game of the season, we will play harder than you. And that led the Bulls to probably a whole lot more wins than that collective talent should have had. That is long gone. That identity, that mentality of working harder than their opponent, wanting it more. It's not there. And people are looking at Jimmy Butler, largely because he has been the most vocal player on this team as far as expressing dissatisfaction with the state of things. Butler is saying, people are looking at me to be the leader.
People want me to lead. You take my leadership for what it is. Some people may like it, some people don't. Money has absolutely nothing to do with it. I feel like I've been here long enough. I'm one of these so-called vets here that I can't allow stuff to happen whenever I see it happening. So, you know, I have to put that on myself.
Now, Jimmy Butler says it's not about the money. At the same time, Jimmy Butler did just sign a max contract this offseason. And unlike Derrick Rose, who has struggled to stay on the court for the last three seasons, at least in short, this season, Jimmy Butler is living up to his contract. He's the best player on the court for the Bulls night in and night out. And some people look at that and say, absolutely, Jimmy Butler should be the leader of this team on the floor, vocally, in the locker room. And if there's a problem that the players have with the coach, he should be the one to say so. However, there is another group of people in Chicago who are starting to wonder if Jimmy Butler's head has grown just a little too big. With the max contract, with the endorsements, all of the attention that Jimmy Butler has gotten, he has developed a significant amount of swagger. And while he continues to say, I'm just some kid from Tomball, Texas, who's not supposed to be here, there's no denying that Jimmy Butler is getting a little too big for his britches recently.
Oh, I'm sorry. The correct answer she was looking for is a giant ego. I have a giant ego.
Don't get me wrong here. I love the amount of confidence that Jimmy Butler is playing with this season. The amount of confidence he brought into last season to step up his game so significantly. I'm just saying that some of his teammates within that locker room, on that practice floor, and yes, on the court while they're playing their games, they may not take so kindly to Butler's meteoric rise and the fact that he is now the one calling the shots. Could mean trouble for a team that doesn't seem to have a whole lot of chemistry right now. And the other problem for me is still I'm not sold on Fred Hoiberg as the coach, the leader 1A of this team. Yes, he did wonderful things at the college level. He turned around an Iowa program, turned them into a winner. He has experience as an executive at the NBA level. But coaching on the NBA sideline is different than college.
Bob? Ooh, working here with us? Every day? Yeah, I don't know if he has what it takes.
Really? They love him down on 6.
But this is 11. It's almost twice as hard up here.
Creating team chemistry and unity as an NBA coach is much more difficult than doing so at the college level. Bigger egos in a cramped locker room. Phil Jackson was able to manage MJ's ego with that of his teammates. Pat Riley doing it with the Lakers, with Magic Johnson and Kareem. Even Greg Popovich in San Antonio managing the balance and sharing touches between Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, three stars in their own right. It's not easy. Phil also doing it in LA with Shaq and Kobe. So far, to me, it doesn't seem like Fred Hoiberg has what it takes to create the right chemistry in the Bulls locker room. And heck, that seemed like one of the big reasons the Bulls brought him in. A friendly guy, open door policy, an open line of communication. That's what they kept talking about. Right now, that seems like a negative because nobody's in charge. And on top of this shit sandwich that is the Bulls' current situation, they lost Joakim Noah for at least 2 weeks because of that shoulder sprain he suffered against the Nets on Monday. We're talking about this team not playing with enough urgency, enough energy, enough heart. And the one guy who still, in lulls last season and many lulls this season, always brings that extra level of energy, the extra effort, the hustle plays, Joakim Noah, is now out for at least 2 weeks and likely significantly more than that. So the Bulls are screwed.
Well then, I guess you're really up shit creek.
Ow! I beg your pardon, what did you say?
I offered to help you. Mm-hmm. You refused to take our money. Mm-hmm. Then I said, I guess you're really up shit creek.
Ow!
Christ, Jake, take it easy, man.
Watch. Ow! Jesus.
Honestly, watching the Bulls in this three-game losing streak, their second three-game losing streak of the season, I feel like the nun who's just ready to give up on Jake and Elwood.
You're such a disappointing pair. I prayed so hard for you. It saddens and hurts me that the two young men whom I raised to believe in the Ten Commandments have returned to me as two thieves with filthy mouths and bad attitudes. Get out. And don't come back until you've redeemed yourselves.
This Bulls core of Derek and Joakim and Jimmy, who believed in the Ten Commandments of Tibbs, have lost their way. Now Fred Hoiberg, Jimmy Butler, Derek Rose, Pau Gasol, they're going to have to try to figure something out. And for the next 2 weeks, maybe the next month or so, are going to have to do it without Joakim Noah, the heart of this team. That's it for me. I'm out of time. No podcast on Friday. I will be enjoying my Christmas day with family. I wish the same for you as well. This has been Chi-Town Chatter on Blog Talk Radio. This is Matt Peck saying you can follow me on Twitter at MMP_DAAA. Like and follow the Facebook page Chi-Town Chatter with Matt Peck. For pics and videos, follow on Instagram at Chi-Town Chatter. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful holiday, and I'll see you next week.